MikeDurbin.com. You can get the WCW-esque Conan in that K-Dog Wolfpack style. Man, this Conan might be Bendy of the year right now.
I really told you.
Yo, let me speak on this. Mike Durbin Productions exclusive.
Conan, I was the most impressed with Conan, man. It's like undercover Bendy of the year. It's a really nice figure. The do-rag is freaking awesome in person. I love the exclusive with the WCW packaging. I love this one with the camo. It's really nice.
And I will say, a figurine expert who went to TJ on Friday, Matt Cardona, put it over as being a good figurine as far as figurines go.
Yo, hold on, let me speak on this. Exclusive Mike Durbin Productions, K-Dog. Look at that. Listen to K-Dog, keeping it 100, logo on the back, MikeDurbin.com. Get it right now. Low-key might be Bendy of the year. Go get it.
Bro, did you read this thing, Disco? You know that guy that used to be a Georgia Bulldog, the guy that caught the touchdown in overtime?
Lindsey Scott?
No, for the Chiefs, Hardman.
McCole Hardman.
Yeah.
Did he stooge? I was reading somebody.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
He stooged off the game plan or something?
Yeah, for the New York Jets to the, I guess they say that he did it with the Chiefs and with another team. And you know, and guess what team he ended up with? The Chiefs. The Chiefs he was giving the information to.
By the way, I want to talk about this real quick since we've got you here for the Raiders. The Players Association came out with the rankings of the families and stuff. I saw that the Raiders performed very well in a couple categories and very poorly in a couple. What were the ones that they performed poorly in?
But that was the poll went down, happened while Josh McDaniels was the Raiders head coach. So it had to be clear.
Yeah, I was wondering when I read that, because this guy's well liked.
The Chiefs are the second lowest graded team. Did you know that?
Yeah, and you know where another one I found fascinating? Yeah, that the Pittsburgh Steelers ranked like an F- in the way they treat family. And I was like, what? That's you know, like some of the rankings were weird, but Jim Carrey, I got bad news for the Raiders season coming up. Let me tell you what.
Bring
so
it.
there was this guy, Dr. Chow. Do you know this guy, Dr. Chow, that does his NFL injury? Like the
yeah, that used to be here in San Diego.
Right. The most comprehensive NFL injury guy. And they came up with a gambling tool this past year where they rate the health of teams and give it a rating. All right. So this is bad news for Raiders, okay? Last year, the seven top teams that were rated the best health from the previous season, all seven of them finished under their projected win totals of next year, like regression to the mean. This year, number two most healthy team in the league, guess who it was?
The Raiders.
Las Vegas Raiders, yeah. And number one was? Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, snap.
we're both hey, you know who was the number one team on that football thing? Miami.
Yeah, Miami for ownership and stuff, everything, you know. So, like, yeah.
Oh, did you see that the Chiefs, their owner was ranked the worst out of the 32? That's crazy.
Andy Reid's number one.
Right. I don't think he's bothered.
Right, exactly. Conan, I know you're an old school Raiders fan. Lester Hayes, you know who Lester Hayes is, right?
Yeah, so,
yep, exactly. So he posted on Instagram that he feels that the Raiders are in the same situation that they were with John Madden and Tom Flores, where the players would run through a wall for that coach, whatever they would say, that he feels that that's Antonio Pierce right now.
Well, Antonio Pierce to me is like that player's coach, like the guy in Detroit, you know what I'm saying? Where people just want to play for him and they really like him a lot and they'll give him an extra, you know what I'm saying? That's how it comes off to me. Yeah.
Oh, plus, you know, they hired by Rich Gangarello. quarterback. Yep. He's like best friends with our GM at the club.
Nice. Like Cadillac Williams. Yeah. He's a running backs coach now for the
really?
Raiders.
Cadillac Williams?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're getting an interesting staff. I think Antonio Pierce said that they have like 7 former players in the staff right now. So,
well, Rich is very good at like first and second year quarterbacks. Like that's his like thing that he's always been good at. Get a load of this. Rich was the quarterback's coach, okay, for Nick Mullins and for Drew Lock in Denver when they had the highest QBR for a quarterback ever playing in his first game. And Rich was a quarterback coach for them. So the guys, like when they played their first game, they like killed him, like highest ever QBR and stuff. So, because like, I wonder if Drew Lock might end up as a Raider, that they might take a punt on him. Because he had with Rich, they was pretty decent with him, you know? So he's got that Vegas swag, too. He's like, you know what they call him? He's like the perfect Chad. They're like, he's like the typical Chad, you know?
And when he was in Denver and he was winning games, he was in the bench and they had like rap music in the background. He's like singing it and tasting everything. He loved it,
right? Yeah, right. Yeah.
Do you follow other football teams, too, or just the Raiders?
I mean, mostly Raiders, but I keep up with almost all the league.
Right. Did you see this thing I was telling Disco about it, about the guy, McCole Hardman, that he was giving secrets when he went the Jets to the Chiefs, and then he got hired by the Chiefs and then scored that touchdown in overtime in the Super Bowl.
I was just looking at a clip before we started with Harry, and somebody, like a couple of the NFL players on there were saying, man, this is really not this. The story's kind of overblown a little bit. Like, who cares if you know the game plan? You know, like,
The game? What do you mean, who cares if you know the game?
No, you have to know the plays. Okay, like after four or five plays, it's like any variable can happen in a game and stuff.
Depending on that and everything. But I mean, if you got the whole playbook, if you downloaded it or have like most of it, and you can just share it, see the four.
Oh, I would.
Let me tell you why. He was on a podcast and he was complaining that, you know, he didn't get along with the people in the Jets and they weren't using him well and their culture was fucked up and that, you know, they lied to him. So you could tell he was very unhappy. There would not be a stretch that a team that he played for before and he wanted to go back to play for again, he was like, hey, here's the game plan. And that might have been part of the reason they brought him back. Everybody's trying to get an edge in football, not just.
And plus, I mean, if they look at what happened to John Gruden. Okay, the NFL got, you know, there was a lawsuit. They got to see everybody's emails, right? And they, you know, so you get to see John Gruden's emails, who just gets caught in the crossfire. People like it, you know, you see, oh, this guy's using some shitty language in some of these emails. I hate John, F John Gruden. I'm like, and the Dan Snyder guy had a thing against. So he leaks, you know, the emails, the thing, and the guy gets canceled. But just imagine, like, all the shit that you have, like if anybody ever, if the NFL ever got sued, or like somebody got, they got to see people's text messages and geez, like, could you imagine all the shit that would be in there? Like, people, giving spying information to other teams, like selling their teams out of them. Like, you probably see a ton of that, right?
Heck, average Jules, the way they speak with their friends, the way that they hang out and talk and do and say stuff. It's like, hey, if everything was public all the time, everybody would be in trouble.
How many people grew, like, if you're a football player and you grow up and you went to high school, college, and you know, you're around people that gamble on the game, your buddies and stuff. And just imagine if, like, people find out you're giving people information to bet on.
I was reading an article on ESPN today saying that freshman college basketball player years back used to be a bookie at his college.
Right.
I'm like,
I was a bookie at my college. I had like 7 or 8 players that would bet like, you know, 25, 50, 100 bucks a game with you. Like, if everybody did that, you know?
Tell me if this doesn't sound like somebody that's disgruntled. This is Hardman after he left the Jets. I guess it was on a podcast. He put, I was so checked out, like it was over with. I had already talked to KC, GM, Brett Beach, and Mahomes, like, come get me. 2 weeks later, he was traded back to KC. On why it didn't work out with the Jets, it's the lies and the way they handled me. I didn't like it at all. He made it clear that other than Garrett Wilson, he felt he was as good or better than every wide receiver on the team. And he was just going off on the offensive coaching staff that they didn't know what to do once Aaron got hurt. And, like, you could tell he was not happy. And it probably would not be beneath him. You know, of course, maybe he didn't do it, you know.
The only reason he went to the Jets was because Aaron Rodgers was going to be throwing the ball at him. And then two plays later, he got hurt. He didn't come back the rest of the year. It was done there. So it's just crazy. Crazy talk there.
All right. So can you tell people again where they can find you?
Yes, on Instagram at Harry_Ruiz, on Twitter at Harry Ruiz, and every once in a while here on Keeping It 100, whenever JoJo hits me up, I'll be here pinch hitting for the Lucha Libre Minute, talking about Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre, Triple A, and everything concerning Lucha.
So guess what, boys?
Yo.
Public service announcement here. K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Get Blitz was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. You know a lot of our listeners here like the THC, and this is a real deal THC. Not the garbage they sell in the gas stations. The stuff in the gas stations is garbage.
Yeah.
And it's super potent, like THC on steroids. It's a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. It's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party. And there's no hangover. You know what it's perfect for? Halftime of the football game. So you can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, and energy drink, whatever you want. The mix with the energy drink is fantastic, by the way. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. Go to getblitz.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. That's GET-blitzed, BLITZED.com. I've been using this product. Great for watching football, gotta admit. Great for watching hockey. Great for watching TV. Great for watching the soccer games in the morning. Great for after the gym if you want to wind down. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at GET-BLITZED.com and use our code K100, that's K100, to get 15% off. That ain't cheap. Order, enjoy, let us know on Twitter or K100Questions@gmail.com about your experience. That's 50% off with the code K100 at GetBlitz.com. Great product. I love the t-shirts, too.
Yeah, I love the t-shirt too, the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, it's funny because, you know, when he first wanted us to bring Get Blitzed aboard, you know, he sent us all a sample. And I got cherry. And actually, I used it. I used the whole bottle, you know, just video games or even, you know, watching a movie like Disco said. And now I'm a paid customer. That's how much, you know, I enjoyed the experience. So, yeah, it's real chill. Like Disco said, halftime of a football game, or if you're just chilling watching a movie with your girl or with friends or whatever, it's a good time, and there is no hangover, just like we mentioned in the copy. You know, you're not going to feel like you drank the night before, or you're not going to feel woozy because you smoked too much or something. You wake up fresh as a daisy.
Well, this is what I like about it. Everything from listening to music, watching TV, football games, sports, movies, everything, and it enhances everything that I'm doing. And my 10 favorite flavors are pina colada and grape. So get a glitz, get high without, you know, feeling shaky, without getting that garbage that you get at the stores or at the gas stations. This is a real deal. We all use it. We all love it. And as we said before, we're not going to endorse anything that doesn't work. So get blitz at getblitz.com. Boom.
Harry, you should get t-shirts made, okay? And this is what your t-shirt should have. It should have a picture of Chandler Jones doing the pie, the stiff arm to the quarterback, and you should have the and then sell t-shirts that say va, say va, say va.
Right? No, I don't think we can use the Chandler Jones one anymore. But that one was the first one.
That say va, say va, say va. He's gone. He's gone.
He's going. So like that one, Jaime Jarrín, he called Dodger games for over 60 years. Is this se va, se va, se va, y despídala con un beso, kiss or goodbye the ball.
Yeah,
so,
and it's going.
Who's your favorite Latino announcers of all time?
Oh, for me, it has to be Jaime Jarrín, number one. Alvaro Martín, who used to call the football and basketball games for ESPN in Mexico. He's now the announcer in Spanish for the Steelers. He's up there, too. Raúl Alegre, who's a former kicker for the Giants, won two Super Bowls with them. And same hometown as my parents' hometown. Met him over there. He's up there. Them three, definitely. And Antonio Valdés, of course. He's a legend out there.
But Aldridge Cantor, he's like the godfather of Mexican deal announcing, kind of.
But that's the thing. It's soccer.
But
I'm not a big soccer guy, though.
But he brought the whole thing of, like, you know, when you do touchdown, like the long drawn out, you know, like when you're now
doing it in soccer before him. He's a modern equivalent.
He became popular in the U.S. Like, right. People in the U.S. think that he created it,
Yeah,
it's from way before that,
bro.
Like, you go, and the way he calls it out there.
Yeah, tirititito, and but when I was in the I was doing this store opening once. This is like in the early 90s, and there was this and I can't remember his name right now, but he's a legend in Mexico, and he's a soccer announcer. And then he was like, yeah, come get these TVs. You know, Conan is here. I'm here. And it's going to be a goal. And he, bro, he went up for like a minute straight, and the place was just going nuts.
Yeah, that comes from Mexico. Or somebody like that.
Yeah.
No, that comes from Mexico.
Yeah.
And so he's Argentinian, and I'm pretty sure in Argentina they did it too that way. But like me, I'm not a big soccer guy. I prefer football. I prefer baseball. I prefer basketball.
Didn't you work for the Vegas Lights? What are they called?
I worked for them. But that's the thing. Like,
you are like me because I like soccer, but obviously football, basketball, you know, like all the others. Soccer's number five for me. Like my number five, right? Yes, same way. So
like I'm
number six or seven because I would put UFC and MMA boxing. Yeah, right. Yeah,
dude, 300 is so stacked.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The prelims, everything is, the main event sucks, but the rest of the card is incredible.
It didn't matter because the whole concept of that is like, dude, you have to watch the first prelim. You know, it's like you gotta sit there for 4 hours.
The cheapest ticket was like $12.50.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was trying to get a ticket, and when I tried, the cheapest was $12.50. I was like, "Yeah, I gotta watch it on pay per view instead."
And plus, too, I'm under the thing that like I don't think I'm not convinced that's going to be the full card because I think there might be a guy that may not make weight and they probably have because it's such a huge card. I'm sure they're paying other guys to train and step in if they have to something. So things could get mixed up. We might see something. We might see a surprise. You know, so. Yeah, let's look at this. Because we can. Damn. Yeah, this has been good sports talk, so we don't really have to do.
That's what I was going to say. It's a Lucha Libre Minute plus sports.
Oh, no, you just plus sports, right? Okay, so we got the first. Try to find the first match. I think
Jim Miller, Aljamain. Jim Miller,
no, that's
Green.
Not the first one. It's not the first.
There's another one right beneath it. Like, oh, that one was canceled.
It's canceled, yeah.
Oh, what? Who was it? Because I
thought Gaethje and Holloway.
Who in Holloway?
Gaethje.
It got canceled? What happened?
I think it was for the bad motherfucker thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
I literally just found out right now.
Yeah. I did too. I thought Aljamain Sterling's supposed to open up the show. And this guy was
But he's not opening it.
Oh, he's not? Okay. So we got Bobby Green and Jim Miller. Solid. Jessica Andrade against Marina Rodriguez. I don't know much about that. So they use Seth against Diego Lopez. Lopez is, Holly Holm against Kayla Harrison. That's big. Figueiredo against Cody Garbrand. Keep going, Joe. Bo Nickel.
That was going to be a badass fight.
Yeah. Calvin Cook.
It lists Gaethje and Holloway, but it says canceled. That's weird. Why would it do that?
Yeah, no, I'm looking online, and I don't see anything about it being canceled.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it was canceled off the prelims to the main show.
Okay.
But yeah, bro, you got like, look at this card. I mean, this is going to be awesome.
And I usually watch the pay-per-views and I watch the pay-per-views, the five fights. Here, I'm like, crap, I gotta watch the whole thing.
Let me tell you something, because I finally saw, and I just want to make a quick comment on this. I finally saw last week the match with Topuria and Volkanovski and all that. Bro, Topuria is like the next big star, okay? Yeah. Good looking, can dress. I think I think Dana said his next big fight will be in Spain. But bro, he practically did nothing in the first round, and all he was doing it was like just waiting and waiting, and out of nowhere hit him with that right hook. And the problem with Volkanovski is that ever since Islam knocked him out, because he'd never been knocked out, you know, and the way he knocked him out, it was a brutal knockout. You know, if you've noticed, a lot of times when a guy gets knocked out for the first time, like in boxing or UFC, they're never the same again, and they get knocked out again. And a lot of people thought that Volkanovski came back too early, you know?
Well, plus two, even though he beat Yair in the middle of that, dude, the guy's lost two of his last three fights. You're the guy that's accustomed to winning. Yeah. When you start losing, it kind of gets, you kind of get contagious.
Yeah, but, two, but
I don't
but,
care. But, not but, a lot
but,
of guys
but
like
Volkanovski lost the, but Volkanovski lost the Islam. But he, first of all, he's losing to one of the best fighters in the thing. He lost twice, and he had to go up in weight. Remember,
I know.
You know, he's a featherweight. That, and he had the featherweight title for like 4 years before he lost it. Now, but what I like about Topuria, first thing he did was call out Conor McGregor. Is Conor ever going to fight? I mean, give me a break.
I don't think so.
Too. Yeah. And, you know, he could fight Brian Ortega. He could fight the winner of the best motherfucker, the Max Holloway versus Gaethje, you know. So that's going to be very interesting to watch. The other guy.
Yeah, he had beef. He had beef.
Yes.
With when he was, before he came into it, he was beefing with Patty the Batty.
Yes, he was.
Well, yes, when he first came in, remember, but they're different. Yeah. He would go up and wait to fight Patty because I think he thinks he can kick his ass.
Well, you know what, boys? It's the new year, and you know you should be back into the swing of things with your health and fitness routine. Hopefully that means you're using world-class nutritional supplements from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Whether it's bestsellers like TestX9 Testosterone Booster, Recovery PM Sleep Optimizer, or the delicious salted caramel whey protein, you can be sure you're using elite level products. Now, this show, K100, is the most used discount code ever at legacysubs.com, and we can't thank you enough for the loyalty to both Legacy and this show. Using that code supports our show and Legacy, which, as you know, is brought to you by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James. Legacy wants to reward you, our K100 family. So every customer that uses code K100, that's K100, at legacysubs.com through the end of February, will receive a free water-resistant Bluetooth speaker while stocks last. That's awesome. So level up your performance, well-being, and mind with LegacySubs.com. And don't forget to use the code K100 at checkout. And we're giving you a Bluetooth speaker for being a loyal members of LegacySubs.com.
Free speaker, huh? Ooh.
What do you use, Joe?
Yeah, I definitely use the Recovery PM every night. I sleep way deeper. You wind up having these vivid type dreams. You're out like a light and you wake up and there's no fogginess or like, if you use like some other sleep aid, sometimes you wake up foggy, but not with Recovery PM.
I've been using the desiccated liver pills.
And, cool.
They've been great. I feel great.
They're the reason we've been with them for 2 years.
Maybe three even at this point.
3 years. The fact that we have the most what?
With the most buys with our referral code, we beat everybody else. Yeah.
All right. So this works. They have a whole array of supplements. Go check it out. You know, get your supplements at Legacy Subs. Boom.
And we also got to remember, the second loss to Islam, he was the backup fighter. Like, he came in like with a week's notice, 2 weeks notice, and he was like, "I'll fight him again."
And I thought the first one could have maybe gone either way. It was very close. Yeah. Now I like the guy from Ireland because he was, you know, he was inspired by Connor, and he's got a lot of his.
Who,
swag.
Gary?
Yeah, Gary.
He's English, so I thought. Is he English?
Oh, is he English? I think he's from Ireland.
Being Gary, I think he's English.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah.
But Ian Gary.
Ian Gary's Irish.
Yeah.
Oh, he is Irish. Well, his wife, Harry, you know the little tidbit about Ian Gary.
Yeah. The wife.
Yeah, his wife. The wife. Do you know that the wife is the godmother of Austin Body, Billy Body's kid?
Oh, no way.
Yeah. That the Ian Gary's wife was a were friends of Billy's wife.
Like she was like Twitter, right?
Something like that. Yeah. She was a media personality back in England. That's interesting.
Yeah, but all the fighters were ganging up on him on the wife situation.
Oh, yeah, brutal.
Going crazy. Yeah, no, that was like good. Shit.
And then Sean Strickland are going to have to fight someday. They're going to have to
fight. Oh, my God. Like that promotion. Promotion will be.
Yeah. They have to fight. That's like, right.
Also, we saw, which, you know, was kind of sad to see, but bro, that Divilashil, whatever his name is, Marav. Yeah. He just manhandled fucking this guy, and then he's talking to Zuckerberg, you know, at the fucking thing like it's nothing. What he got the choke on, then he picked him up, brought him across the ring, and slammed him in front of Zuckerberg, a two-time Olympian, bro, or two-time UFC champion, and different weights, and an Olympian. It was kind of sad to see.
I mean, retiring ain't no joke, and Cejudo had already retired, and he was out for a while. But the problem is he kept talking trash and he kept on doing everything. And look, the game is going to end up passing you. Father Time is undefeated. And Marab, now he even, like, knowing that Cejudo alienates some of the Mexican fans, Marab was like, heck, I'll to the Mexican side. And he was like with the Mexican flag and saying Viva Mexico. He went down to Mexico for UFC Mexico last weekend, and all the fans loved him. And
here's my theory on why these guys keep coming back and stuff and thing, right? Bro, don't forget. Remember UFC was giving people, was paying guys in Bitcoin for a while. Right? So what happened? Bitcoin took a big dip. Then it's like, oh shit, I'm retired. I'm big. Now, like, it lost like half its market value. So it's like, well, shit, now I got to fight again. Right? That was my theory on that. You know, like, they keep coming back to fight.
The last match I want to talk about before we get to this week was Whitaker and Costas. That was a good match, you know? Mm-hmm. And Costas had him in trouble in the first round. He almost knocked him out.
Yeah.
You know, then Whitaker was calf kicking him and, you know, Whitaker is back.
And Costas got a good personality too. Yeah. He's like funny on Twitter. Like he's good, you know, throwing jabs at guys. He promotes his fights pretty well. You know,
the problem is for him to show up.
Yeah.
He always backs out of fights. So when he shows up, you know that he's going to put up good fights. And Conan, if you want to talk a little bit about boxing, what the hell with Canelo?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
that he doesn't want to fight Benavidez, and Tyson buried him. Did you see that?
No, what happened?
Yep. He left career boxing champions too.
Yeah. Well, he was supposed to fight this guy Benavidez, right? And for I think like $60 million, which is ridiculous. And Tyson was like, what? You ain't got no heart. You ain't going to go in there. I can't believe you're doing it. Like he buried him. What was I going to tell you? Okay, last week's UFC, right? So the match start when Ortega's jumping up in the air, he rolls his ankle. And I remember when I saw that, I thought, fuck. Because remember this? Remember his last match? He had fucked up his shoulder.
Right,
I think it was against Yair in the first round. And I was like, oh, he got hurt again. Bro, and Yair brought it to him. I mean, he brought it to him and almost knocked him out, you know? And Ortega came back and choked him out. Incredible comeback. Incredible heart, you know?
He just, like everybody, the announcers were saying, you're going through 5 minutes worth of ring rust and you're fighting one of the guys that's got some of the best offense in the UFC.
Right.
You know? So it's like, he got warmed up really quick, you know? And then when he got warmed up, he just got a hold of the guy and it was over, you know?
And bro, the thing is, this guy, Ortega, he don't duck anybody. I was looking at his like last few fights. He fought Volkanovski. He fought the Korean Zombie. He fought Holloway. He fought Frankie Edgar. He fought Cub Swan. Like, he fights everybody. And he said, I'll fight Topuria. You know, put him in front of me.
Right.
And then, bro, you could tell because when La Pantera came out, when Yair came out, Harry, the place was going nuts, right? When Moreno came out, it wasn't as much. It's almost like they had been deflated by what happened before.
Yeah.
Bro, he didn't do nothing. I was talking to Rey Mysterio, who was there. Moreno didn't look like himself. I don't know if he gassed out, if he was hurt. Did he look like himself to you?
No. And Brandon Royval, he knew that he had to be aggressive, and he went out there and he went to win the fight, and he got it 3 rounds to 2. But, I mean, Moreno didn't look like himself, and I hope not. But this might be the downward path of his career right now, because he hit very high highs, but after this fight, I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be able to get back to a championship level, to a championship fight.
So when we had done sports last week, Harry, I had mentioned to Conan that this was in Mexico, and they had like tons of Mexicans on the card fighting, right? And usually when they have a card like that where all the hometown fighters are different countries, usually they don't do well, right? And I had mentioned that I was maybe going to put like $100 on all the guys fighting against the Mexicans. So here's how I would have done. I would have been 1-0. Then 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, 2-4, 2-5, 2-6, 2-7, 3-7, and 4-7. The Mexican fighters were 7-4. They showed up. They showed up pretty well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Except the top two guys lost.
I know, and hopefully Joe can come back. But
let's see this. Let's see how the Americans did against the Mexican. So Royal 1-0, Ortega 2-0. This girl Yasmin Jarigo beat Sam Hughes 2-1, and that was it. So the United States beat the Mexicans 2-1 in the heads up.
Yeah, it was mostly South American guys and gals. It was not much of a right. American fighters. And then even Brian Ortega, I mean, cutting his promo at the end of the fight.
He's Mexican, right. He's Mexican.
He won the people over because when he started using slang and cussing, they were like, okay, he's one of us. Right. And he won them over big time. That was the smartest thing he could do because he told the translator, no, let me talk. Bro, he got over like $1 million.
I know. I was literally saying the exact same thing. I was like, when the translator was about to translate, he's like, no, here, I got it. Yeah. He just won the fans over.
And then he talked, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like La Raza.
Right, exactly. You know, he wasn't educated or nothing. He was like, no, vale verga. And people were like, oh.
And I shared a link right there with JoJo because I think the best fight in the towards the end of the night happened in the stands in UFC Mexico. Yeah. And there was a guy that should have won a bonus of the night.
Night of the year, the guy that knocked both guys out. Yeah.
Right, he knocked two guys in like 3 seconds. And people were cheering. I was like, hey, that's what happens when the main event ain't that entertaining.
Everybody's drunk. Yeah.
And that's the thing. UFC fans, the real fans, go to the arena early and watch fights for 6-7 hours. The fans
Since we're talking about sports, did you see that thing where Filipowski from Duke got hurt because the fans were court storming? Bro, they have
that to is end. So stupid. Of course,
yeah, they have
massive
to end
security
that.
Risk.
Yeah,
sure. Right.
Yeah, you bro.
What Caitlin Clark a couple of weeks ago?
Yes. Yeah, Caitlin Clark. Yeah, the most popular. Bro, I couldn't believe the lines to go see her play. I was like, what? Yeah, so, she's super popular.
Well, she's trying to break the all-time record for
guys.
She's
like 17 points away.
She broke it last night.
Oh, she did break it last night?
Yeah, she broke
Maravich's last night. Record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. But I'll also go to this. How many years has court storming or even field storming for football games where you beat a national ranked team at home?
A lot.
How long? It has a been lot. Happening forever.
Bro,
but
I
now,
remember, listen to this. In the 70s, I went to see the Dallas Cowboys versus the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl, in the Orange Bowl. And I remember storming on the field back then. But people are crazier now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, like the chick that bumped into Caitlin Clark, she was like on her phone, like recording herself. She wasn't watching where she was running and bam.
Oh, yeah, they could have ended Filipowski's career. He's a lottery pick.
Right.
You know, people were just running full speed ahead and just ran right into him.
And you also got to be smart as a player. When the game is about to end and you know that the people are storming the court, go to your bench. And you increase chances, but yeah.
What do you think of a Cody Bellinger resigning with the Cubs?
That's a good signing. I mean, and it's a great contract for him because he's got opt-outs after each of the first 2 years where he gets paid $30 million a year. So Scott Boras, he's looking for too much money for his free agents, but he ends up getting great deals for his guys. And now let's see where the rest of his, like Blake Snell, where does he end up going? Where does Chapman go? Where does Montgomery go? I mean, they still got, we're 2 weeks into spring training and there's still big names out there in the market. That's going to be
I can't believe nobody signed Snell, 2-time Cy Young Award winner.
But last year, how many $300 million and $200 million contracts were going around? This year, they're not going to be spending that kind of money. So, Snell.
They already did. The Dodgers seem to have that type of fucking money.
Two non-Scott Boras players, though. They didn't want to make deals with them. And they look at the guys they signed. They signed just elite players. They got Shohei. They got Yamamoto. They got Glasnow.
Our boy Josh Towers was bringing that up on VSiN the other day. That said, he says he's done with dealing with Scott Boras.
Oh, he's a pain in the ass. He held everybody hostage.
Yeah,
he waits to the very end. Yeah, he may be good for his clients, but he's not good for the business.
All right.
Hey, shout out to Josh Towers. I can't wait to hear the preview because you guys always kill it with that one.
I moved up out here. He works out of my gym right around the corner.
Oh, nice.
I run him like twice a week up there.
Shit, yes. Bro. You know what I couldn't believe? I didn't know this fact that the women's soccer team that had been dominant for so long and then last year they shit the bed and fucking got eliminated. Yeah. They beat Mexico like 40 straight times. Bro, Mexico ate them up 2-0. Did you see both goals? They were really good. But they both, since one was first place and the other one was second place, they're both going to go to the next round in the CONCACAF. So they may meet again.
Ever since the women's team started getting super political, they just like kind of lost their edge. It became more like...
I don't know if it's super political or teams just got better, bro. That's to me is what happened.
But in Mexico, they've had the league for like 7 years now, the female league, and they're getting better players and their level is increasing and they're becoming better athletes. If they don't have a league to play in, your national teams aren't going to be great. So now that they have their Liga MX for the women, now they're starting to get better players. Disco. So a friend of mine, right now that you mentioned the gym, he lives in Inspirada and he texted me that.
What do you think? I don't know if you can see. What is, just read it. I can't, what is this? I can't read it.
Disco Inferno is working out next to me at the gym. I was like, dude, tell him I say what's up. And he's like, he just left. I was like, Disco's a good guy. So just give him a $20 handshake and you're good.
Yeah, right.
100%.